Yes, Honest Actors is back with brand new episodes every Friday. To help me continue releasing new episodes without a sponsor, or to say thanks for your favourite old ones, click the support link in the episode description. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. It's a one-off, feeling generous, good deed for the day sort of thing. Think of it as bumping into me and buying me a drink. To find out more, click the support link. Thanks for listening, and enjoy the show.
Yeah, mine's a large red.
I hate those guys.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My name is Adrian Lester.
I'm Joanna Scanlon.
Terry Minot.
Bronagh Taggart.
John Joe O'Neill.
Sarah Ball.
Tom Riley.
Kate Fleetwood.
John Heffernan.
And I'm Jonathan Harden. And very, very soon, you'll be listening to a brand new series of the Honest Actors podcast. So, series three, 13 brand new episodes will be with you this side of Christmas 2018. Keep an ear out. I can guarantee that the people you've just heard speak will be part of that series. No surprises there. There will also be a few more surprises that I can't yet talk about. So keep an ear out. It's coming your way very, very soon. In the meantime, though, I've been keeping busy. It's TUC Young Workers Month this November, and every November, actually. And as part of that, I've gone back and spoken to the emerging actors and also recorded a special live podcast for Equity. You may remember that 2 years ago, I had a roundtable discussion in the spotlight with seven emerging actors. That video went online on YouTube. It's still there. If you haven't already seen it, just search for Emerging Actors Roundtable and it should be results number one and two. Anyway, I went back, met up with all the guys 2 years later. So all I wanted to find out was what had happened in those intervening 24 months. How had their careers gone in terms of what their expectations had been? And also what they'd learned along the way, if they had any wisdom to pass on to people who might be in a similar situation or even slightly further back in terms of their career. So have a listen. I found it absolutely fascinating. I hope you will too. The live podcast we recorded last week at the New Diorama Theatre, it was hosted by Lorna Wallace Taylor and features Emily Barrington and Sean Biggerstaff. It's well worth a listen as well. For now though, here's another emerging actor.
My name is Yunus Buzinab, and you're listening to the Honest Actors podcast.
So, Yunus, it feels like a job interview, doesn't it?
A tiny bit.
It's in a good way. It's because of the tie.
Yes.
To fill people in, we're both wearing ties because I clip the microphones to ties, and it's a bit silly because neither of us is wearing a shirt that necessitates a tie. In fact, Yunus is wearing a sweater. And yes. A tie. Anyway, just thanks very much, first of all, for kind of coming in to chat to me again.
No, my pleasure.
It has been 2 years.
Oh, 2 years already. Wow.
It has been 2 years since we last chatted.
Gosh.
I have watched back the chat that we had in the winter of 2016 when we were all young and
yes,
and pretty.
Mm.
At least in my case. And there are lots of questions that I have generally for everyone, but also specifically for people as well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to those in time. But before we start, I think the most important thing to do at this point is for you to remind us where you were with things, what was happening with you the last time we met.
So I was about to start my third year, my last year of drama school. I was about to open first public production in my third year at Central. So it was exciting. It was slightly overwhelming, the kind of the industry looming above, you know, me and the rest of my classmates. And yeah, it was a kind of a, it was a bit of trepidation, but excitement at the same time.
Okay, so jumping 2 years forward.
Yes.
If I was to ask you to sum up where you are now, what might you say?
An interesting place, I would say. It's been... that's a good question. Well, 2 years...
So, let's 2 years from now when we meet up.
Yes.
November 2020, October 2020.
Oh, you mean two... Okay.
No. I'm just trying to frame it differently.
Okay.
Whenever we meet up then...
Yes.
What do you think you'll think back on this time? How do you think you'll view it?
Ah.
What was happening with UNESCO back in 2018?
What?
Where are you with your career?
Career,
I hate that word.
Still. Yeah, but no, but... It's yeah.
Horrible.
Yeah, there's something... Yeah. But also... kind of right in some ways. That's where I'm at. I think that's where I'm at. I'm like trying to figure out what my voice is within this industry, or what I want my voice to be.
Okay.
So it means that, you know, it's a bit up in the air. There's excitement, anxiety.
But you're a theatre maker as well, right?
You're
a maker of things, so you make your own work as well. So I guess that's part of that that wouldn't necessarily be the case for most actors, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break this down a little bit. Was training worth it, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely, for me. It was also as a foreigner, I think I needed a bit of time... kind of a lab time, a workshop type of space where I could just kind of understand this industry and what the challenges are in this industry and what I could kind of bring to it, but also kind of learn about, you know, the English-speaking world and all of that. So for me, it was a time to kind of figure stuff out without having the pressure of pandering to an agent, to a casting director, to a director, to try to fit in. In a way, I think that the training helped me to kind of find or start that journey of beginning to find my voice.
Okay. So now you've entered what we might call the pandering stage.
Yes.
So have you got an agent now?
Well, that's a funny story. I had an agent at, so it was, you know, showcase or blah-de-blah, didn't get any interest. But then I managed to get representation by the end of the year in June or July. And a year later, the agency closed down. So now I'm in a phase of being independent again and trying to find new representation.
So you're looking for... If anyone's out there,
now
we go to a short commercial break.
Yes.
Younes Buzunab, one of the world's finest actors, is currently seeking representation.
Yes.
So, Younes, what do you put that down to? That's a difficult question, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I just sound very pensive in my voice. So you're finishing drama school.
Mm-hmm.
That represents a huge commitment.
Yeah.
In terms of time and finances, resources, mm-hmm. just blood, sweat, and anguish, okay?
Yeah.
And you don't get any agent at the back of that.
Mm.
Are you in a minority or majority? Are most of the year getting agents or most of them not? How is it looking? Like, what was the picture coming out of that course?
Because we're quite a international group.
Yeah, very, very diverse group.
Yeah, very diverse. I think most of us got representation... Yeah, at the end of the year, or even during the year, people got signed.
Did that knock your confidence a little at the time?
No, I had not really. There was a bit of anxiety, definitely, but it kind of highlighted the fact that my journey was going to be a bit different. That there were reasons. I mean, you can spend ages trying to understand why. Why wasn't I picked? Why? And very quickly I was like, well, it's just do the work. Do your work, and it's about the work. It's not just about, you know, getting signed and getting the fancy agency. And it was quite a supportive group, which was good. There wasn't too many egos in the room, so it wasn't just people about bragging about getting the agent. So it was quite supportive, which was great, and people helped. A lot of my classmates helped me, and there was another person who wasn't signed at the time, at the same time as me, and they helped. They invited their agents to our last production, and so it was quite supportive, which was lovely. And because we were quite diverse, and for the meeting that they also got, you know, I heard stories of, you know, levels of kind of racism and ignorance being kind of, that was said to them. So it kind of, everyone was a bit like, I don't know, it wasn't just like, oh, I found my, you know, the Holy Grail, that's it, I've made it. It was like, I don't know, you have a different kind of conscious, I guess, awareness when you're not exactly from here, you don't fit in.
I guess, you know, one of the questions I've been asking other people has been about the big pushes towards gender equality, towards diversity in casting. And I guess you really are one of the people best placed to talk about that, in that not only are you kind of visually kind of from a different ethnicity, but also within that, your own ethnicity is extremely complex. Like you're Belgian and North African.
Yeah.
So do you think people find it hard to pin you down? Do you think, like, I know in America, for example, there's always the thing about Oscars so white and that black actors are underrepresented, but then there's Hispanic actors that are even more underrepresented. Do you feel maybe that the North African thing is a very... an even less visible minority than we might realize?
Yeah, I mean, definitely there's not much out there, or you have the kind of the cliches, which
are
the terrorist,
okay,
kind of basically, or mainly terrorist, and then you have maybe in second position you have the refugee,
okay,
but there isn't much else. I mean, the kind of underlying problem with it that I'm kind of discovering, and I've kind of started discovering having conversations during my 3 years of drama school, was the kind of internationalism is a big problem, I think, in this industry. There is so few, there aren't any really foreign artists here on stage and screen. And I think it's that, you know, it encompasses, you know, North African performers, but especially people who are not British, and if you're just the other, you just come from a different country. And there isn't much kind of conversation about that, which is problematic, especially when, you know, politically speaking, we're in a very kind of interesting times, to put it kind of mildly.
I guess you're not only your ethnicity, your kind of national identity is a hard one to position within British culture.
Yes.
Whereas I guess if you were in Paris, it would be less difficult to place.
Absolutely, yes. And it would be there are other issues in terms of representation in France, but definitely in terms of North African performers and stories being told, that there's a bit more.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is a kind of historical, I mean, for historical reasons, there's a kind of cloak of kind of invisibility around specific communities here. But yeah, probably the reason is like, when you come from different cultures, and you're hard to pin down. But it's, I've been trying to kind of push for more kind of inclusivity by talking to people, you know, industry professionals, and hopefully things will change. It's not just for my own little career, as it were, but like for other people to be able to be seen and heard and tell other stories.
So... you come out of drama school, and for at least a period of time, then you have to, I guess, not only be looking for an agent, but also be looking for opportunities to work.
Yes.
So how, in that initial period, did you find those opportunities? Did you build relationships? How did you do that without having had an agent for a period?
I started with, I was lucky enough that most of the people who came to kind of either, you know, as tutors or directors were kind of visiting lecturers. So they were not part of the core staff, most of them. So they already had like connections to the industry. They were working professionals in a way. And so I kind of reached out to them and had, you know, kind of informal meetings to kind of talk about the industry. And they shared some of their connections, and I kind of reached out. And so that was one way. Another way was doing a lot of kind of workshops and casting workshops, you know, and getting to know people outside the kind of the circle, the central circle, which was really helpful. And yeah, those are the main two ways for me to kind of reach out.
And what were the big lessons then from the past 2 years, including the time of having an agent?
Yes.
What have been the big lessons? Let's say, to put it in kind of honest actors, recognizable terms, mm-hmm. if you could go back to yourself whenever we met last and give yourself some advice, what would the advice be?
Less is more.
I don't know why that's tickled me so much, but it has.
But yeah,
it's because it could literally mean anything.
Yeah, no, in the sense, like, I'll kind of. I think I'm. You can be over enthusiastic when you're kind of you're trying to reach for everything.
Okay, yeah.
And I think when you, it's better at the same time to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And I think in a way I've kind of stretched myself a bit thin at times.
Yeah, and also there's a whiff of desperation, I guess. People sometimes get a sense of that, you know, people used to say that, you know, when or actors say a lot, if you walk into an audition when you're working, you will get the job because you go in with a confidence that is, I don't need this.
Yes.
I'm happy to take it. And if I help you, if I can help you, I will.
Yes.
But if you don't want me, that's just fine.
Yes.
And I guess that's a luxury that isn't afforded to actors when they're not working, and even less to actors if they don't have an agent. So any opportunity you get, the wild-eyed stare comes in.
It becomes an event. Everything stops.
And the pressure, pressure on you, put the pressure on it internally, and that reads from the outside.
Yes.
I guess is the thing, right?
Definitely,
so less is more.
Yeah, and to be, I mean, we say it a lot, but like, you are enough. And I think making time for yourself to kind of figure out who you are as an artist, what works for you when it comes to auditioning, because I think the great thing with drama school training is that I guess it can also prepare you for a rehearsal, or you kind of the classic setup of a rehearsal. You have plenty of time to get into your part, whatever. But for an audition, it's like you have 24 hours, maybe 48 hours, and you have to kind of go straight into it. And if you've learned a lot of things, but you're like, I need more time to really kind of get in. But sometimes with the less is more, it's just, what do you actually need to just be present and not kind of overthink and say, oh, I need to realize this is the thing.
The amount of times I have 2 days for a casting and I'll still think about ordering a book on Amazon to get delivered the next day so I can read a life story of someone. And you're like, but do you know the lines yet?
Yes.
Do you know the lines? Why are you going to learn the lines on the train and spend 4 hours reading articles about the... Like, surely the first thing you should do is learn the fucking lines, right?
So true. I mean, because you want to do such a good job of it, and also it's a way of avoiding it. I mean, for me, especially at the beginning, it was a way of like, no, I need to kind of...
Totally.
I need to kind of immerse myself in this. And it's just like, it's just a page.
I'm just listening to some period music, and then I'll learn my lines.
Exactly. And then you realize, oh God, I have 3 hours left. I am not ready. So that's been a kind of a big learning curve.
Okay. I like that. That's good. That's good. What else? I think we're on the rich vein here. This is good.
It's like practice, like the power of just practicing, like your beliefs in your ability to kind of do anything and work in any kind of type of environment and setup is...
Okay.
So it's... that was another...
So what do? You practice at home, just like, you know...
Yeah, just practicing...
It's more than I do.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
I'm too busy listening. I'm too busy listening to period music for auditions that I had 6 weeks ago.
Well, no, I did it on my breaks. And also like reaching out, like talking to my friends who, you know, and who are either working or are in between jobs or having, and do stuff together, just practicing together. Just having a sense of community is quite important. Otherwise, you can.
So it seems like you're. And again, I always have to preface this, I think, particularly with the emerging actors, as a kind of, I'm not asking for you to kind of open up in any big way, but it seems like you're hinting at a sense that at least you're aware that you have to take care of your own head.
that you have to take care of where your head is and how this industry can sometimes take too much. Something that comes up again and again in the podcast. Has being an actor over the past 2 years had an impact on personal relationships, on your mood, let's say, rather than on mental health? And if it has, what coping mechanisms? You've mentioned a few, I guess, already in terms of connecting with people and community and all that. But has it had an impact, do you think, on your well-being?
Yeah, it has, definitely. It's especially that first year, right after my third year was really, there were like some tricky moments of like realizing that I didn't have any kind of a structure, kind of mental structure for me that I could rely on and that could make me feel less anxious about things. I discovered also sides of, because when you're working full time for three years, it's just that you don't have to think too much, which is wonderful.
And that's the key. You're working.
Yes.
It feels like you've got a job for this. It's like working in the West End for 3 years.
Yeah.
And then walking out into a cold, miserable Shaftesbury Avenue.
Yes.
And realizing that, you know, it's just you.
Yeah. And it's, and so that was a shock. But quickly I realized that I had to kind of come up with tools that would help me. And I have to say, I mean, it might be a bit cliche, but yoga has been a big thing for me.
Good.
And meditation. Right. And I'm just at the beginning of it, but like just,
Taking time.
And also taking time off. Because, you know, when you're not working and you're a bit up in the air, you're like, you feel like you have to work all the time, every
day. You feel guilty when you're unemployed if you're not trying to seek gainful employment.
Exactly. And it's, it was a hard lesson to learn, but I'm kind of glad that I've learned it like really early on. But I'm still kind of on that journey.
So you must be doing other things to pay your bills then. You must be doing.
Yes.
One of the things, and I hate to bring it down to this, I've done it with everyone, so don't feel like you're being hard done by.
Okay.
I asked as part of the application procedure people to estimate what they might make in their first year as an actor, right?
Yes.
Now, there were people who were much more optimistic than you, people who were less optimistic. Yes. The trained actors pretty much universally said they thought they would make £6,000 to £9,000, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not 69, 629. Yes. Right? And I'm not asking you to put a figure on it, because it would be unfair, but that first year, were you surprised one way or another? Were you shocked? Were you disappointed? Pleased? Is there any adjective you can use without giving away? I mean, you can if you wish, but tell me a little bit about the financial package of your first year.
Yes. So you mean just coming out of the...
Yeah, coming out of drama school.
Yeah, and mainly through jobs?
Yeah, just, through, I mean, every, through, the through whole, everything.
Everything. I wouldn't say shocked, but it would be like, I was a bit like, oh, right. I don't know if there's an expression that encompasses that kind of realization of like, oh.
Yeah, I don't think that's a language barrier thing. I think you're more than capable in English to know that there isn't actually a phrase for that feeling.
No, I know, I'm just hiding behind my foreignness.
It's like, there's a sound effect.
Yeah, it's like this, like, yes. It's the kind of slight dread. I'll be like, I'm like, oh, right.
Do you think things are going to get better the next couple of years? Like, are you optimistic?
I'm kind of temperamentally optimistic.
Right, okay.
To a fault. I'm someone who's like, yeah. So I'm quite stubborn. So, and at the same time, there's always a voice in me that's like checking in, especially since that kind of slightly dark period. To be like, well, are you still enjoying this? Is it still your, you know, because I don't want to be just in this industry just mindlessly. So already I have this voice of being like, just stay aware or be aware that there's...
Do you see yourself as a business? Do you see your career as a business?
Hmm. No.
It's come up, you see, and I've just chatted to Jen. I came up with Jen.
Yes.
Very much that sense of seeing acting as a business.
Yeah.
Which I've always struggled with, because I know personally, if my career was a business, I would have closed the business years ago. And if I hadn't done it that time, I'd have done it 6 months later. And if I hadn't done it that time, I'd have done... Like, I mean, there have been multiple opportunities for me to pull the shutters down and hand back the keys, right?
Yes.
I'm guessing you must think of it in different terms.
Yeah. I think there's... Acting is becoming... I've discovered a kind of a activism strand in me. There's something that's... So it's no, acting isn't a business, but I feel that there's a necessity for me to be out there. I've been privileged enough to be able, I mean, of course, training is not necessary for everyone. We each have our own different journey, but I'm aware that, you know, I fought for it, but at the same time, I was privileged enough to get to have good training. And I'm like, and being, coming from my, you know, representing those different cultures, I'm like, I have, not a duty, it's not like, there's not that pressure, but I feel like it's... acting could bring other stuff to surface, like dynamics within society that is just not healthy. And I feel like that's becoming one of my engines to kind of keep going. But at the same time, I need to be aware that if I keep pushing, it's not about just me pushing myself and just burning out at some point. So that's why that voice is there, to kind of keep checking with where I'm at, that I don't lose myself in it, if that makes sense.
It does. It is an absolute joy listening to you express yourself in English, because you do it so eloquently and in a way that I'm not sure I could. So I'm sitting here in with massive respect for that. I'm wondering then, does that take pressure off you in some ways going forward in the next 2 years? Like, if I said to you, for example, have the past 2 years been successful? What would you answer?
In some ways they have, I have to say. Maybe not in the kind of most apparent ways, like visible ways for other people, but because I thought in some way that it would be a lot harder, like a lot more kind of bleaker, and I would not be able to get anything done, anything set up. So it has been successful in some ways, but I've also learned that it's a long game. So it's just like planting the seeds and kind of keep at it and keep... I've also learned that it's about teaching, like, in a way, this, because if you come from a different, and we all have our different challenges, and, you know, there's so many different kind of forms of injustices in this profession. But so I think in it would be so easy to just be bitter and angry and just stay on the sideline and just kind of criticizing everyone and everything. And I've learned to kind of to teach people about when they... I mean, we have to teach them. I think we have to teach the profession in order for it to grow and be more inclusive. So now I've lost my point. But there was a point that... it is a long game. And so I think, like teaching, like kind of showing different elements of this industry that we can do different, we can be employed in different ways, we can reach out in different ways to different communities. It's that gives me the strength to feel like it's not just about me. And I think acting shouldn't just be about yourself and your ego. I feel like there's something a bit ideally selfless.
Okay. So again, with all that in mind,
yes,
and with the benefit of the past 2 years and the experience of that and what it's taught you, where would you like to be if we met in 2 years' time, end of 2020?
Yeah.
Where would you like things to progress to?
I think I'd love the industry, I'd love to see like more international projects being put on stage, to see like different people on stage, to see people that is more of an awareness of having foreigners on stage, non-native speakers on stage and on screen in this country. And yeah, I mean, for me, it would be great to have representation, but I think, you know, that's not the main thing. I think if I can keep working, keep creating things and keep, you know, devising shows and writing scripts and all of that, that's wonderful. But I would just like to, that the diversity debate that we're having and that we've been having for some years, which is great and rich, that we're adding that other element. And for in 2 years' time to see that not come to fruition, I mean, it would be too quick, but like to see that additional, those additional voices.
Will you definitely be still doing it in 2 years?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like...
Have you considered in the past 2 years, have there been moments where you thought, this isn't right for me? I've made a mistake.
No. No.
Nice one. If you're still in the same position you're in now in 2 years, would you think about giving up? It's a tough question, man.
Yeah, no, but it's an important one, I think. I probably would start thinking, okay, I think I need to kind of be creative with the situation. Mm. So it doesn't necessarily mean, I think, maybe getting rid of this side of me, because I, you know, I'm a performer. I feel like it would be very hard to not be able to physically do that. But yeah, I would definitely kind of think, okay, some things, yeah, I need to kind of step back and think a bit.
I don't think that's going to happen, you know. You are, this is going to sound condescending, it's not meant to. One of the most effortlessly intelligent people I've had the pleasure of chatting to. I can't imagine that that's not a desirable thing in this industry, for people to want next to them in a rehearsal room or on a set. And
thank you.
I look forward to chatting to you in 2 years, because it feels like you've had a bit of a circuitous and at times difficult 24 months since we last spoke. And I think part of that is exactly what you've put it down to. It feels like part of that is absolutely about ethnicity and and not only that, but also not being English hand, being Belgian hand. And that must be difficult. So I have nothing but respect for you in pursuing what are very clear goals and which are very, I guess, for me anyway, seem less selfish than a lot of actors' goals. So it would be lovely to see you get to that point in 2 years where you want to be, because if you get to that point, then it means that the industry is in a much better place. So thanks for chatting to me.
No, my pleasure.
I hate to do a Jerry's final thought at the end, but you really do make me think. You really do. And like I say, I look forward to checking in again in the not too distant future and hearing how things have progressed. So thank you, man.
No, thank you very much. Thanks.
And that's it for another Emerging Actors Chat. 6 more of those are available this very day on this very same podcast outlet. But before I let you go and listen to those, I have some thank yous. Thank you to Jennifer Kay and Louise Waller, the assistant producers on this. Thank you also to Theatre Deli and 1984 Personal Management, in whose spaces I recorded the interviews. Theatre Deli, you can follow on Twitter at Theatre Deli. You can also find out more about what they do at theatredeli.co.uk. So thanks to both Theatre Deli and 1984, to Louise and to Jennifer. And don't forget, Series 3 is coming your way very soon. Make sure you're automatically set up to download it. And there's also a live podcast event for TUC Young Workers Month in association with Equity that's also available this very day. The guests on that, Emily Barrington and Sean Biggerstaff, it's well worth a listen. Have a go. Anyway, I'll speak to you soon when Series 3 is out. Take care of yourself. Speak to you soon.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.